Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Mark German.
Zama, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine, this side and that side.
No, we're fine, man. Weather is good. Temperature is fantastic. Cannot complain at all. I hope that your day has been good.
Yes, surely it's good here, sir.
Lovely, lovely, great to hear that. Now, to those who are joining us, the question to you is, you're going to be listening to Mark now, talking to us about an amazing Bible prophecy. But the question to you, before Mark comes, what comes to mind when you think of prophecy? Do you think of a fortune teller? Do you think of a psychic? Well, an old woman with a luminous globe telling you about your future husband? A palm reader, maybe? Well, the truth is that no one knows or does prophecy like God does. And so today's lesson highlights a bold prophecy told by Daniel. So, Mark, could you please take us through the summary of today's lesson?
Our lesson today focuses on Daniel chapter number 2, where we learn about the dream Nebuchadnezzar had. And when he woke up, he couldn't recall its particulars. And being a heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar summoned the Chaldeans and magicians who were in his realm. And they miserably failed to recall both the dream and its interpretation thereof. Until Daniel, who was at this particular time in captivity, came in and said, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals all the mysteries." And the when we follow chapter number 2 of Daniel, especially verses 31 to 35, Daniel tells the Babylonian king, saying, "Before you stood a great image or statue whose appearance was splendid, and the head was of gold, the chest and arms silver, belly and thighs bronze, the legs of iron, and the feet the combination of clay and iron. And as you watched," Daniel continued, "the stone was cut without hands and struck the image at his feet. And so the iron, gold, silver, bronze, and clay broke in pieces and became like chaff shifted from the floor. And the wind carried them away. So it was not." And so in this dream, God gave the world a startling glimpse of the future, in the what an amazing glimpse this prophetic dream has had on the world today. Yeah, in short, in summary, that's what we are focusing in today's lesson.
That's indeed lovely. Now, what does the king's dream of the mysterious statue have to do with us in 2026?
In this mysterious statue, as we say, is presented the rise and the fall of the world's empire. But above all, we learn of the great controversy taking place between God and Satan himself. And at the end of the day, we understand from this dream that God is the supreme leader. And so it has everything to do with us, since we are part and parcel of this conflict. We understand that God is working tirelessly to save us. And on the other hand, our enemy, the devil, is also working tirelessly through the four kingdoms displayed in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Yeah, surely.
Why has God given his people the gift of prophecy? Is it meant to frighten us into righteousness, push us into right doing?
There is an expression which says, "If you forewarned, be forearmed." So the gift of, yes, so the gift of prophecy is not there to frighten or to force us into obedience. Rather, it is there to prepare us for the kingdom, to open our eyes so that we are not deceived by the schemes of our enemy, the devil himself. And so prophecy is a gift. Why God has given it? It is because he wants us to know how the enemy is working tirelessly and how him, on the other hand, is trying to get us into his kingdom. So prophets are not there to threaten or force us to obey God or love him. Surely.
Yeah, although I don't know, because, you know, there was a guy who came to my church, I think it's sometime last year, talking about prophecy. Man scaring us and telling us that the time is coming. The time is very near. If you look at what is happening, the 666 and all of that, and I don't know, and you are saying it's not meant to scare. So it looks like a contradiction.
Yeah. No, it's not a contradiction. You know, even when we talk about judgment itself, we understand that God is doing investigative judgment at the moment. We know there is going to be a final judgment where the wicked shall burn. If I tell somebody to say, you are going to burn if you don't change, I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you the results of your choice today. And so when you look at prophecy in its entirety, in the whole Bible, it's not there to threaten. Rather, it's there to open our eyes, to understand what the enemy is doing. That's why I even said it Thursday. If you are forewarned, you send the chance to be forearmed. You know, okay, I'm traveling this route. I'm using this road. There is danger ahead. What should I do? I need to prepare myself. I need to prepare my mind. I need to do this or that. So if you are forewarned, you send the chance to be forearmed. In the same sense, when we look at prophecy, it's not something that should frighten us. We shouldn't be afraid of prophecy, but rather we should know and understand. It is only a problem that some people, when presenting prophecy itself, how they present it is like a drama whereby they are making people to fear what's coming ahead. But that's not the reality of prophecy. When we say there is a national standard law ahead of us, there is a time of trouble whereby those who trust in God shall be put to sword. We're not trying to threaten them. You said in Matthew chapter 24, you see, Jesus say, because of the circumstances the world is heading before, or because of the trouble that the heading is heading towards, God will even shorten the period of the tribulation, knowing that if he prolongs it, if he allows it to be long, not even one can be saved. So you can see that God is trying to prepare our mind to understand that, all right, the world is headed for a big trouble. However, I have provided ways. Some of you will sleep before the tribulation. Some of you will face it, but I'll give you courage. Provided today before the trouble, you create or you establish a good relationship with me. So once again, prophecy is there not to destroy, threaten, or force us, but to open our eyes, to prepare us for what's coming ahead. And God will aid those who are committing themselves to him today.
I like that you are dispelling that, because, hey, man, indeed, it's just a warning, and so that people can be armed and equipped better. He kept on saying, have you seen that the beast has moved this direction? Ooh, the time is getting close, Mazalwan. Brethren, it is now time. And yeah, there was commotion, man, and I thought to myself, should we be scaring people like this? But I'm glad that
you have
cleared that. I'm truly, truly happy. Now, how does an understanding of prophecy impact the believer who is waiting expectantly for Christ to come again?
In Matthew chapter number 23, verse, I believe, 37 and 38, Jesus gave the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem. And history has narrated in the chapter one of the book of Great Controversy tells that those who understood and heeded the prophecy were saved. You remember, Andy, I hope you know. Likewise, understanding prophecy of the Bible, especially in these our days, let's say the likes of Daniel and the Revelation, helps a believer to prepare for Christ's soon return. In a positive way, that is. Yeah, so prophecy helps a lot. Like we said earlier, that without understanding prophecy, there is a huge trembling that many of us will miss heaven and will be shocked by Christ's return. And so once again, prophecy is there to help the believer to know what's happening so that you don't have to be shocked. I was talking to some friends, I think a week ago, to say the reason why Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 outlined the signs of the times to his disciples alone and not to all the Jews as in chapter 23 is that he wanted them to embrace the events in a different manner. He wanted their reaction to differ from the world. In other words, in our world today, when government is not performing, people always, the citizens always believe we can respond by taking placards, demonstrating, destroying lives and properties. That's what people do. But Jesus in Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says, and when these things begin to happen, then what should you do as my believers? Look up, because your salvation draweth nigh. And when Jesus says, look up, what he's trying to say, this is now time to pull up your socks of faith. You have to do something different from what you did last year, what you did yesterday. In other words, this is the time to steal no more. This is the time to shun away from adultery and all other sins we know. So prophecy is there to help the believer to prepare for Christ. Because if you know this is happening, and it's happening because we are nearing the end of the earth's history, you'll be helped to act or react differently.
Man, I want to let you go now, but what would be your parting shot advice, or maybe the point that you want to emphasize with the listeners, and then we'll let you go?
Knowledge is power. And ignorance, as they say, in the is not an excuse in the court of law. God has bestowed on us another special gift of prophecy. And so let's study and heed it. We cannot be shocked or deceived if we study the Bible and we understand what is happening in Iran, what is happening in South Africa, what is happening in the world. It's not happening, just happening. Instead, these are the signs of the soon returning of our Master. And so let's dedicate our time, let's dedicate ourselves to prophecy, and let's make sure we are keeping our eyes open, because the time we're living in is just a time that demands every believer to commit his life or her life to Christ. And the prophecy has never and will never lie or lack.
Indeed. Man, I must thank you so much, Mark German, for coming through. It's been a fantastic, fantastic conversation. Wishing you all the best in the afternoon until we speak again in the future.
God be with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.